Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and joining us for this third Sunday in Advent. I do have a couple of announcements to make. First, make sure you sign your caring book and pass them to the middle aisle. Yesterday, we had our youth group's annual cookie walk, and I believe Anna can give us some details. Also, we had some unexpected expenses for our organ and our speakers, so we're asking if anyone is willing to make a donation, just put it in the collection plate and tag it that it is for the repairs to the organ and the speakers. That cost is going to be right around $1,100. There will be a deacons meeting today after worship. Don't forget, the annual Christmas party will be held next week, immediately after the worship service. Please bring a side dish in your own place settings. We will have ham that will be provided and dessert, so make sure you bring good sides so we can all worship or fellowship together. And I do believe there may be a visit from the old bishop, St. Nicholas. Next Sunday, the 18th, will also be children's sermon. If you have any envelopes for 2012, they are in the back table. There are some prayer concerns. Verna's back with us, so it's good to see Verna back. If I'm pronouncing her name correctly, I do apologize, Penny. Dagmar Kilpatrick, which is Penny's mom and Heather's grandmother, is in Passavant in intensive care, so keep her in your prayers. The youth group will be shopping for Angel Tree gifts this evening. They will meet at Kmart on Route 8 on Butler Street, near the intersection of Saxonburg Boulevard. They will meet at 6 o'clock in the front of the store. The gifts will also need to be wrapped, and hey, a sweet treat wouldn't hurt either. The youth will meander over to Eaton Park to wrap the gifts and have a dessert. I would like to also welcome Dan McDonald, who will be joining our choir today, Sean's brother. As you all remember, Robin did have surgery this Wednesday, and the surgery did go well. We'd like you to remember to keep Robin and Leonard in your prayers, and Leonard will be returning after some time off he's going to take. He will be back with us on our Christmas Eve. During his time off, he's requesting no phone calls. If you have any emergencies, any prayer concerns, or any other church business, please contact the church office or any member of the session. Are there any other announcements? Then at this time, on behalf of Glenshaw Valley, I would like to introduce our guest minister who will be with us this week and next week, Pastor Jay McMillan. Pastor Jay and Becky have been married a little over 2 years and are living in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. Jay holds a conservative Calvinist Reformed doctrine, and as he is currently without a charge, they are now attending Lifeline Community Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. This is where they met Shawnee and Bill Mueller. On November the 30th, 2011, Jay celebrated his 34th anniversary of ordination. He has served 5 chaplaincies and pastored 6 churches in the Presbyterian Church USA. His most recent church was in Triadelphia, West Virginia, which is just outside of Wheeling. Becky is a self-employed bookkeeper, and Jay and Becky enjoy walking their dogs, camping, music, and canoeing. So please help me welcome them to Glenshaw Valley.
Thank you, Michelle. It's good to be with you. It's good to be here. The most marvelous thing about it is we are not strangers. We are family in God through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's right that we come together to worship our God and our Savior. Hear these words from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and infants. You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, The moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the beasts of the air, and the fish of the sea, and all that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let us praise God and let us show the excellency of his name. Let us sing together hymn number 60, Morning Has Broken. Let us stand. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and we are far from the truth. And yet when we confess our sin and trust in Jesus Christ, God our Father is faithful. He is merciful. He will forgive us our sin and our guilt. In all humility, let us confess our sin together. Father of lights, in you there is no darkness. But around me and within me, there is great darkness. Sin has taken light and life from me. Forgive my sin, my inner darkness. By your sovereign will, allow Jesus, the light of the world, to be born in me. Through your grace, make me a shining star to bring Christ's light to others. For their salvation and your glory. Amen. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Glory be to the Father.
come now to affirm our faith, the faith in which we stand and by which we are saved. Let us do so using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we've gathered, being Christ's family, God our Father, Christ our brother, the Holy Spirit our advocate, let us greet one another and share the peace of Christ.
On top of the mountain over there. As soon as hope, joy, and peace get a position, they'll light it up for the entire town to see. At that point, we'll begin the procession through town, starting with Mary and Joseph.
So we follow the mountain?
No, you follow the star.
After Mary and Joseph?
After the shepherds. Faith, where did you get these wise men?
They're the only ones who fit the costume.
What about the donkey? Did we finally get him tied outside?
Not exactly.
Well, what exactly?
He finds his way into the kitchen, and now he's eating all the apples and candy we stored for the kids.
Get him out of there!
We can't! He's snapping at anyone who comes close to him.
Don't we have a vet or some expert that can calm that animal down? Or give it a distemper shot or something?
Well, I'm the vet, but I'm not going near that donkey.
All right, then. After the donkey has had his fill of candy, just try to have him outside. Man, if candy can make a donkey mean, imagine what sugar does to our kids.
This is becoming a disaster.
What?
This whole program.
Nonsense. Didn't we all get together and pray before starting the massive undertaking?
Yes, but.
Well, there you have it. Anything less than spectacular would be unthinkable. Besides, I have more important matters to discuss with you. Faith, you've been the rock of this church. You comfort people when they're down. You give them hope. You encourage them to continue their walk in the Lord.
I do try my best.
I want you to know how much we appreciate all that you do.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be appreciated.
Good. Now, I want you to run up that mountain and go check up on our team with the star.
Run up?
I'm getting worried about them.
Run up a 1,000-foot mountain?
I think as good stewards of the word, we should make sure all our members are safe and secure.
Run up?
Or some alternative route.
The donkey floats.
Everyone scatter! Stay out of its way!
Do you think they'll ever get that animal under control?
I doubt it. John, what are we going to do? Everything is falling apart.
Don't worry. It'll all work out. It always does.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm serious. Every year we put on a Christmas program, and every year it's one hectic mess after another.
How do you deal with it all?
Well, before we start the planning process, we get together and pray. Then it's just a matter of working out all the bugs and trusting God for the results.
Really?
Sure. Take our program coordinator, for example.
I'd rather not.
I know how it looks like chaos right now, but he really has everything under control.
Close the back gate! Close the back gate! Get those kids off the playground! Jesse, grab the reins! What do you mean, though? Somebody has to get an animal. My wife is not an option.
You were saying?
I was saying that it's all under control.
How can you say that?
Because we trust God for the results. The Bible says, without faith, we're like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Or in our particular situation, scattered in all directions by a mule.
What if it seems impossible?
Look, Faith, since you're okay. We all have our mountains. Some are more real than others, but God assures us that nothing is impossible without Him.
Really?
Really, just take that step of faith and be creative.
Well, we got that all taken care of. Hopefully the animal will wake up in time for the program.
Remember tranquilizing darts? They can be your friend.
I'm sure it'll all work out fine.
Of course you're sure. It always does, doesn't it? I say we've earned a well-deserved break.
Sounds good to me.
Faith?
Another time. I've got a mountain to climb.
Thank you.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
During Advent, prepare to share the joy of Christ.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
During Advent, prepare to embrace the promise of Christ.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
Hallelujah and amen. Beautiful. Thank you. The responsive reading, 636, taken from Matthew chapter 2, the Magi's visit. This is one of the texts for the sermon. Let us read together from God's word. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying,
"Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him."
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
And
people, he inquired of them whether Christ was to be born.
And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet.
And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared.
And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.
When they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy.
And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Amen. As we come to the time of pastoral prayer, I see there are prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. Are there any others to be added to these? Yes. And your mom is? Okay. Other prayer concerns? Okay. Father God, what a blessing to call you Father, that we, your children, by the blood of Christ, your Son, can come into your presence and be welcomed, and that there is no need so large that you cannot meet it, that there is no good desire so small that you will not fulfill it, to the blessing of our lives, to the building of the church, to the glory of Christ, your Son. And so we come trusting and believing that you will hear our prayers and that by your good grace you will answer them. Lord, we have many things to thank you for. Family and friends who return, such as Paul. And that we all get together, whether we have blood family or not in this world, at this time of the year we gather with those people, those friends that are closer than brothers and sisters. That we are one family in Christ. We are blessed above and beyond all others. And so we praise you and we thank you. And we thank you again for doctors and for nurses, surgeons and technicians, and even the people that keep the medical records, because they work for our healing. They are a gift from you to us. And yet we pray over all their ministry and through it and through the prayers and the anointing and laying on of hands in the church, that your ministry of healing would go forth by your Holy Spirit to touch and to heal all those who are afflicted. Father, we pray for Robin and Leonard, for Mom Baldwin, for Cora, for Nancy and Bill, for Sue and Michael, for Verna and Dan and Dawn. They all have been to the hospital or are going, Pat as well and others. Lord God, fill them with your Holy Spirit for healing power. Let the doctors see signs and wonders, and let them be brought to faith in Christ through the healings that they see. But bind up our loved ones and bind us up with them to love them and to support them, to grant them the fellowship that we have, whether they're there in the hospital or at home or in the nursing home. And Lord, some folks are home and they're struggling to get better, or perhaps they're fighting the afflictions of age. Again, be with Vera and Robin, with Suzanne and Mary Ellen, with Dan and Christine, Hilda, Art and Isabel, Paul and Diane, Janet, Meg, Muriel, Kathy and Diane. These are our brothers and sisters. Lord, stir us up to visit them, to send them phone calls or cards. And if they need some space and some room to heal, grant that we would not press in on them, but give us wisdom to give the best gifts we know how. And Lord, we pray for our nation. She is broken. She is divided. We are cut away from the anchor of being a Christian nation as once we were founded. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon our nation. Make us once more one nation under God, a nation under Christ your Son. And Lord, the Presbyterian Church USA is so torn and so tattered by internal strife and those who teach apostasy and heresy. Purify your church, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Let a great awakening happen, a revival, a new reformation, founded upon Christ, upon your word, upon the true leading of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon and within your church, Father. And we pray for those in the military, whether they're at home or overseas. Watch over them. Protect them not only from wounds and death on the battlefield, but from the temptations that assail them. And bless their families who wait here at home. And Father, be with those who rule over us, whether it be Mr. Obama or the governor or the mayor or whoever, congressmen and senators, council folk. Bring them unto Christ, bring them unto faith, bring them unto being led by your Spirit, that they might lead our nation aright. And Father, we pray for our children. Keep them close to you. Make us good stewards of the promise they hold within them, the promise of Christ. And Father, you hear all our prayers, whether they're mentioned or not, and we give you praise and thanks. And now we join not just our voices, but our souls, our minds, our hearts. And we pray even as Christ has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, number 82. Our Lord Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. A full measure, pressed down, heaped up, shaken down, and overflowing, it shall be put into your lap. For God does love the cheerful giver." Let us give our tithes and our offerings.
Church, the body of Christ, and also to go out to proclaim his message in the dark places of the world, and to feed the hungry, both those who physically hunger and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for letting us share in your word. Please receive now these, our gifts. Add to them your blessing. Multiply them as the fish and loaves, that Christ would be known, and salvation proclaimed in his holy name. For we ask it in Jesus' name and under the glory of his name.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
When I first received the scriptures from Jay, I was confused. I didn't know how they fit together. The first one comes from Genesis, and it describes the fourth day of creation, where God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the lights in the heaven. The second scripture comes from Matthew's, where he describes the visit of the Magi. And the third from Ephesians, that describes the blessings of Christ and God's plan for us. As I studied these and meditated on them, God revealed to me his message. The Genesis scripture reminds us that God is the creator and the master of the heavens and has the power to place a star in the heavens to guide us to Jesus Christ's birth. In Matthew, the Magi, who were studying the heavens for guidance, saw that star and followed it to Bethlehem and found Jesus. The Ephesian scripture reveals God's plan and makes us aware that God has placed the star in the heavens to guide the Magi and to guide us. And so God has placed the perfect light, Jesus, on earth to guide us to him and to God himself. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that only through him can we go to God. So listen for God's message for you as I read the scriptures this morning. First of all, Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And God said, "Let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day and the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw them that it was good. And there was the evening, and there was the morning of the fourth day. Now, since we read Matthew as the unified lesson, I will skip that for the time. So I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he has chose us to in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He presided over the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given freely the one he has loved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Jesus Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. I want to begin by telling you a story. It's a true story. There was a little lad who, as he grew up, somehow became very fearful of the dark. And a lot of children end up there, don't they? Probably some of the grown-ups sitting in the congregation can remember back to a time when you were afraid of the dark as a little child. And no offense, because I like nightlights too, but I've seen a lot of grown-ups with nightlights on that, you know, kind of go down the hall to the little room there, okay? Don't want to go stubbing our toes in the dark and so forth. But a lot of people fear the dark. There's all sorts of dark. There's the dark that comes naturally. There's the darkness of a terrorist attack. There's the darkness of physical blindness. And even worse than that, the darkness of spiritual blindness. But back to the little lad. He was scared to death of the dark. He was one of those kids who would go to bed and they didn't have a nightlight in that house. So he'd pull the covers way over his head and leave his nose out just enough to breathe. Because blankets are magic. Monsters can't touch them. Okay? So here he is shivering under the blankets, even when it's warm. He's afraid to go out in the backyard. He's afraid to do much of anything where it's dark. Then one evening, when the stars were particularly bright, there wasn't a moon, this little lad's grandfather, who had a good Scots burr to his voice, takes the wee lad out and he holds him up and he says, "Laddie, do you ken the stars? Do you understand the stars? Do you see them?" And the wee one says, "Aye, grandfather." And the grandfather goes on and he says, "Well, my wee laddie, the stars are nae but pinpricks in the floor of heaven. And there's an angel peeking through each one at you." Do you know that little boy was never afraid of the dark again? Never feared the dark. He knew that for every star there was a pinprick in the floor of heaven. And every pinprick had an angel winking at him through it. It was a wonderful way to dispel the fear of darkness and to drive it away. And as that lad grew older, he came to really love one hymn, "Fair is Lord Jesus," because it has that great line. "Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry hosts." Brothers and sisters, the stars are there for a reason, not just for the Hubble telescope or whichever one's replaced it by now. Not just so some astronomer can find something that they say may be a world that has life and then they find out it's 2.5 times too big to have life. But the stars are there for you and for me. God, when he began all this, he said, What was the first thing? Let there be light, right? And then on the fourth day, he takes all that light and he gathers it together. And some of it he makes that bright, beautiful sun of ours up there. Isn't it nice? It's shining through the windows on this cold, cold morning. And then he made the moon pure and silvery and bright for the night, and the stars to twinkle and to fill us with wonder, and also the shooting stars and everything else. But as God made this, he had a purpose. Because it says in Scripture about the stars, let them be for signs and for holy seasons, holy occasions, for days and for years. Now I know we've all been taught, or at least I hope we've been taught, what is called the proto-evangelium, the first telling of the gospel. And you know, that's Genesis 3, 14 to 15, where God says to the serpent, hey, you're cursed, you're going to go on your belly the rest of your life and eat dust. And the woman's seed and your seed are going to hate each other. You will bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. And this is a prophecy of Christ coming to stop Satan, to take our place and to die for us. But I believe that even before this official proto-evangelion, that God was putting these words here in Genesis to say, a star is coming, a star different than any other star, a star that will outshine and a star that will wander as do the planets, but a star that will wander with a purpose and with a set course. God's saying before this, sin did not catch God unprepared. Jesus is not a Band-Aid after the boo-boo. God created everything. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew that you and I would sin. And yet he still created everything. And so he said, the day is coming, even here at the beginning of creation, this fourth day of creation, that I'm putting in motion the time for the greatest star ever to be. The greatest sign, the greatest wonder, because I'm going to give the greatest gift of all, Jesus, my Son, Jesus, whose name means Savior. And so we go to Matthew, and we find out about the birth of this miraculous child and his wonderful gift, God's gift to us. I want you to think about this. Down at the planetarium, they used to do a show called The Christmas Star, and they'd ask people to press a button whether they thought it was a comet or a supernova or if it was a miracle. Most of the people used to push miracle on that little button. But here they come, the wise men. They come out of the east, Persia, India, perhaps even China, maybe even from up in the steppes of Russia. We don't know. We don't know how many of them there were. We know they had three gifts. Gold for a king, frankincense for divinity, and myrrh for suffering, for a sacrifice. We do know they traveled at least 2 years. How many people want to get on a stinky, smelly camel and ride for 2 years? Any takers here? No. But they did. Because we find out later that Herod killed all the children 2 years of age and younger. So they were on the road at least 2 years. They didn't have any AAA triptychs. They didn't have TomToms and Garmins. They didn't have Hardee's and McDonald's and Arby's and King's and all those other restaurants. They didn't have DoubleTree hotels. For 2 years they journeyed. That star that they followed was foretold in Genesis. A star for a season, for a sign, for a wonder that the Christ was being born. Brothers and sisters, what about you? What about me? I mean, we weren't there when God said, let there be light. We weren't there when he took that light and balled it up into the sun and the moon and the stars. We weren't even there with the wise men. So what about the star for us? And that's the amazing thing. Even as God planned this star before sin, even as God planned Jesus to come before he said, "Let there be light," God planned for you and for me. It says in Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," where? In the heavenly places, in Christ. Now listen to this. Hear it fresh. "Just as he chose us in him," when? When we gave our profession of faith? No, huh? "Just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Think about this. Before God said, "Let there be light," he knew Jesus would have to die. Before God said, "Let there be light," he chose you. He chose each of us in Jesus Christ. There are some people who go around, they like to ask that question, "When were you saved?" You know, and they expect you to have some date and time. I was saved since before the foundation of the world by the good will of God, and that's not arrogance on my part because I can't save myself. I had to be saved. I was a sinner who wandered along the edge, fell down, and I'm laying down there in a million foot chasm on the rocks, and I'm broken and I'm dead, and I need somebody to come get me, and Jesus jumped down to get me. God planned that before the foundation of the world. Before God said, "Let there be light," he chose us in Jesus Christ to be his people. Before God made the stars, he chose us in Christ. He predestined us. He knew us. Now, we weren't pre-existent souls. That's Mormon heresy. We don't want to go there. We didn't pre-exist. Soul comes into existence with conception. That's the scripture. But rather, God knew it all. And he knew us. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew our sin. He knew my sin, your sin. And so, before he did anything, he planned for a star, a sign, a wonder, before all things, because he loved us before all things. So for whom does the star of Bethlehem shine? For creation, yes, all creation shall be redeemed. That includes the animals. Did the star shine for Christ Jesus? Yes, it was the ultimate sign of his divinity. He's the light of the world, and God set that light up there. Was it there for the wise men? Yes, the star of Bethlehem was there for the wise men to guide them. But I want you to know this, brothers and sisters. In all the darkness that's around us, even the darkness that is within us in our sin, the star shines for us. The star shines for you. It shines for me. The wise men gave up 2 years of their lives to follow that star. Will you and I follow the star of Christ the rest of our lives? The star shines for you. Will you follow? Let us pray. Lord God, we get lost and turned around and confused, but you alone can guide us. Let the star of Bethlehem enter our lives by your Holy Spirit, by the blood of Christ. And lead us home to you. And may we journey together in faith, in hope, in love all the days of our life until we finally follow the star home to you at the last. Grant us this grace to your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of response is 124, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us complete in every good work to do his will, working in us what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom with the Father and the Spirit be glory both now and forever. Amen.